Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Staten Island is often described as New York City's forgotten borough. It's kind of suburban. Its residents skew more conservative politically. It's the only borough that voted in the majority for Trump. And it's a real commute from the Manhattan business and entertainment districts. Not just that, but Staten Islanders feel ignored. You know what I mean. So much so that last month, City Council members Joe Borelli and Steve Matteo began pushing for a Stegxit. That's a Staten Island exit from New York City. Once again. And I say once again because this idea first came up in the 90s, and those of you who've been around long enough know that they actually passed a non-binding referendum in 1993, but it never got passed as law. Staten Island did not secede, obviously. That movement remains to be determined for the future, but in the meantime, a new collection of fiction essays helps shine the light of on stories of people on Staten Island. And with her latest book, Claire Jimenez, longtime Staten Island resident, current PhD student at the University of Nebraska, and author now of Staten Island Stories. Hi, Claire. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Did you grow up on Staten Island?
I actually, I was born in Brooklyn, and I grew up in Brooklyn until about maybe elementary school. Maybe we moved over in the 90s, 92, when I was about 8 or 9, and then I grew up on Staten Island up until I went away to college.
What part of Staten Island?
First West Brighton, and then by Silver Lake Park.
And I see that your collection of stories was inspired by Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales.
Yeah.
The Canterbury Tales inspired a collection of stories about Staten Island?
Right. Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem likely, but actually what I think is really great about The Canterbury Tales is that this structure lends itself to telling lots of narratives. So if you're familiar with Chaucer at all that piece, what it does is it highlights the stories of different pilgrims traveling to this holy spot. But what he does so brilliantly there is he basically creates a portrait of this society by having these different characters from all different places in life tell their stories. And when I thought about Staten Island, I wanted to do that with this short story collection, which is all fiction, because I know some of y'all said essays, but it's all fiction, and it has voices of characters who are inspired by real things.
People who don't travel around Staten Island probably have a stereotypical vision of it as kind of white and suburban, but you write from the perspective in some of the essays of kids on Staten Island going to segregated schools. So as someone who grew up Puerto Rican on Staten Island, you want to talk to us about when you really understood that situation?
Yeah, and I think I want to start by talking about sort of like the perceptions of the island. It is true that there's a lot of, you know, white conservative folks on the South Shore, but there's also what often doesn't get said, and what I don't hear about a lot is that on the North Shore, it's one of the most quickly diversifying boroughs, and there's a lot of different communities. We have Liberian, Sri Lankan, Mexican, Black, all types of Latino, Puerto Rican. Obviously, I'm Puerto Rican, and so those were things that I wanted to also highlight in the collection. I think that said, growing up on the island in the 90s, and even still now, there's still a lot of racism, and that manifests itself in different ways, whether it's schooling, whether it's what happened with Eric Garner, his murder. And so those were also things that I wanted to explore in this collection.
And your essays jump around in time and explore the history of the island from 2003 to the present. And in a number of essays, you come back to the death of Eric Garner and the trial of Officer Daniel Pantaleo.
Exactly.
And I know that you've agreed to read a little stretch of your essay, The Grant Writer's Tale. Would you do that?
Sure. Yeah, The Grant Writer's Tale. Oh, just a quick disclaimer, because I was a grant writer and I know people on the island, and I could already see them being like, which organization is she talking about? No, it's not real. It's not a real organization. So.
Got it.
Okay, the grant writer's tale. The news notification blinged and popped up in all of our cell phones and Facebook feeds simultaneously. Pantaleo not indicted by a Staten Island grand jury. All of my office mates were white, and though they had expressed polite concern in the past about police brutality, of course making sure to qualify that concern with some apprehension about the vague details of Michael Brown's death and, well, his character, when the news slid into their timelines, they all looked down at their phones at once, sighed ironically, X'd a notification from the screen, and continued to finish whatever email or RFP they were strategically wording. The sound of their fingers tapping at their keyboards all at once vibrated like a bunch of winged insects swarming. This year, there had been a major deadline upon us, and all of our jobs depended on securing the grant. By any means possible, Susan said, Susan the AD. I began to sweat. Susan liked to keep the heat at 74 in the office because her new juicing diet left her perpetually hungry and cold. During staff meetings, the hot air dried out our throats so that sometimes I'd open my mouth to begin a sentence and suddenly feel a tickle at the back of my tongue that would travel to my chest and send me to the water cooler in a fit of coughing. It had made me afraid to talk during meetings so that I nodded at whatever anybody said. At the end of the meeting, I'd shuffle my notes into my folder and walk quietly back to the desk, the artificial taste of cherry cough drops stuck in my throat.
That's pretty amazing. Do you want to talk about that passage at all? Because that's fiction. Again, people should remember that you're writing fiction, short fiction essays, and how that intersects with your experience from afar of the meaning of the Eric Garner incident.
Yeah, I think that and one thing that a lot of people of color and especially black folks are talking about is how you when you're inside of spaces that are all white or you're inside of your workspace and then you hear about these things, right, that you feel it sort of viscerally and physically in a different way sometimes than your white coworker, right? So where it might be for somebody like, oh, well, that's a news thing that popped up in my feed. For others, there's this violence that's internalized as well. And I wanted to talk about that too because I remember when he wasn't indicted, there was this, you know, I came out of work and there was this weird silence on the island and it was just so hard. And I remember the protests that were happening in the city and how they had tried to get on the ferry to come, but cops had blocked them. And so I just wanted to explore that. There were also, there were folks who were demonstrating and about Pantaleo not being indicted. Specifically, I think of the Garner family, and Erica Garner, who just recently died. You know, I hope she rests in peace. They would have these protests and they would be sparingly attended, at times. And that was something that was tragic and hard to see.
We have a Staten Island listener who is inspired enough to call up and talk to you, and that is Dante on Staten Island. Hi, Dante. You're on WNYC with Claire Jimenez.
Thank you so much. I wanted to applaud Ms. Jimenez for this endeavor. I am in my early 50s. I'm a social worker on Staten Island. I grew up on the South Shore, and when it was much more, it was actually rural in parts. Mm-hmm. And I currently live on the North Shore with my wife and children. And I do believe that it's a misunderstood borough in many regards. I would say that there's a lot more diversity, particularly on the North Shore. I remember when Eric Garner was killed. I was living here at the time, and I just wanted to applaud Ms. Jimenez at trying to demonstrate the dynamics on Staten Island, which is a lot more interesting, frankly.
Dante, I'm going to leave it there for time, but thank you so much. What
thank
were you,
you
thinking as you heard Dante, Claire?
Oh, that's great. I mean, I always get because the island is very conservative at certain neighborhoods, you know. So I always think about, I'm like, oh, you know, people are going to be like, you know, well, you know what? She's not even from Staten Island. She's from Brooklyn, you know. So but like it's nice to hear people support support the book. That's very kind.
Many of the female characters in your essays struggle with weight. Why did that become a recurring theme?
I think body is something that I'm very interested in. I mean, me personally, I've always fluctuated in my weight, so I think that probably came through. I think women are, in general, you know, are viewed, you know, a lot of our capital comes from what we look like, and so that definitely was probably why it made its way inside of there.
And another bit of local infrastructure keeps appearing in your essays, and that's the Fresh Kills landfill. Right. And for people who don't know, that's a big garbage dump, now closed to new donations, but it's something the characters in different essays keep pointing to in order to sort of explain the island's relationship with the rest of the city, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about, I mean, I remember, you know, growing up and people talking about, yeah, you could see it from space, right? And like, this is what the island's known for. I mean, recently it got closed. And of course, there have been recent conversations about, you know, did the dump give folks cancer? But I was interested in actually thinking about Fresh Kills and Great Kills and the name of it, right? And so I have one story called Great Kills, and I thought, oh wow, this is such a crazy name, and what can I talk about, you know, using that title? And mm-hmm. when I think about, you know, September 11th and mass shootings right now that are happening, all the ways in which, and the opioid epidemic, right? And so all of these ways in which there are these great kills, not great as in fantastic, but just like immense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think maybe that's the biggest thing that actually came out of the secession movement in the 90s, which is that City Hall finally said, okay, we won't make you take the rest of the city's garbage anymore, and we'll close the Fresh Kills landfill. Do you have an opinion about this new secession movement that's brewing?
Oh, I think it's so silly. I think I'm flabbergasted by it because I think, like, who would not? I'm such a proud New Yorker, and I think who would not want to be a part of New York? I think that the secession movement is, you know, led by a few loud voices, but most of the island, I would say, or the most of the people that I talk to, I don't have any statistics, but they're proud about being a part of New York. I think that often too, there's the argument to secede is disingenuous a little bit. It's, you know, like, oh, well, we want to have, you know, more power over what happens to the island. But it's often these weird dog whistles that kind of say, like, mm-hmm. we want to separate ourselves from, you know, brown and black New York. I think about this, too, when I hear people talk about the Verrazano Bridge, about, you know, or when there's, you know, people talk about, oh, where there's so many people moving from Brooklyn to the island. And
I hear you. All right, 15 seconds. Snap answer. One positive thing about Staten Island that you want people in Manhattan or Brooklyn or even Nebraska where you're going to grad school to know.
So many good people. Tanisha Smith Franks, who does Mothers Against Senseless Killing. Thomas Fugaloro, who does literary work. So many different organizations. The Gerard Carter Center, which helps young kids in Stapleton Public Housing. So much good food. Awesome. So you all should come through.
Awesome. Claire Jimenez, her new book of short fiction is called Staten Island Stories. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.